What tips, what tricks do you have for decreasing that runtime if you've already been running regularly, but
Well, first thing I would say, if you're already running, congratulations, you're a runner. You've made it. So, and I said it earlier, you're doing something that some people can't do, and a lot of people have told themselves that they can't do. And so every time you go out there, you prove that. But I think one thing that would probably help people the most out here, and it's a Swedish word, it's called fartlek.
Welcome back to another episode of Black Snake Bites. I am Lieutenant Liz Rogers, and with me as co-host today is
Senior Master Sergeant Leslie Kaiser.
And today we are speaking with two PT professionals. We have Master Sergeant Doctor and Master Sergeant Riddle. And Master Sergeant Riddle, you are a PTL, is that correct? If you want to explain that for everyone.
Yes, ma'am. So I do administer the PT test, also do the failures, so it's a FIT program, fitness in progress. So those who ever fail, they'll come see me and we'll have suggestions to where whatever part of the PT test that they have failed, we'll gear it around their fitness. So the next time that they do take it, they will ensure that they pass, just not with a passing, but they can exceed that PT score.
Awesome. What about you, Sergeant Doctor?
On the outside, I'm a long distance runner. I've been running for, going on 23 years now. So started in middle school and still running now, anywhere from 5K up the marathon.
As members of the U.S. military, we are held to certain physical standards that set us apart from folks that work in the civilian world. What's so important about fitness for those of us that are in the United States military?
I think the number one, honestly, is readiness. It's a key component of readiness. And I think one message that's been made fairly clear is that we're transitioning into a new war and a new mindset. And with that, fitness is going to be important. It's going to be a change in how it affects us physically, mentally, and emotionally. And a physically fit person is going to be better suited to tackle these new changes.
So fitness just isn't running around a track. Fitness just isn't push-ups. Fitness just isn't the aspects of the PT test. Fitness is complete. If you have a mental fitness, you can be a whole lot stronger in situations. And then you get into spiritual aspects. Some of those things are lost. However you believe, however you worship, those things right there, that keeps a lot of people grounded. And when you go to the totality of the fitness of it, then you can actually see where our readiness comes into play.
So I wanted to ask, what has been both of your journeys into physical fitness? When did you first start out? Like you, Sergeant Doctor, you're a runner primarily, and then you have a background in football. Is that correct, Sergeant Riddle?
Correct. So for me, some know me, but I've always been a small guy, and so I had to do 10 times more than somebody else. And so I was a late bloomer. All of the sports, all the activities, I had to do even more. I love to run. I love to hit. Baseball, football, running, everything, swimming. And so for me, I got into it a little bit more, I guess, seriously, once you get into middle school and high school. And so that's where I really focused on football. I focused on track and I focused on baseball. And so for me, it just carried over because the way I woke up is that some of them had the opportunity they went from Metro or they went to all of the travel leagues. I didn't have that opportunity. So now I'm already behind the gun, so now I got to even train even harder. So my competition was I'm already 10 steps behind, so what I have to do is work 10 times harder in order to be that person out there. And so it has paid off for me, and, it's just one of those situations where my mind state is that wherever I go, whatever I do, I'm going to be the starter, I'm going to be the star. I don't need all the accolades, but I just have to put myself in that situation where I have to let you know that when I step on stage, you're going to watch me play.
So it sounds like you channeled that competitive side of yourself to push yourself into the physical fitness.
Correct.
Yeah. What about you, Sergeant Doctor? How did you get started on your fitness journey to where you are now?
It was definitely a journey of many miles. And then my middle school PE teacher really motivated me to come out for track my eighth grade year. I was horrendous, by the way. I was not very good at all. And somehow that led into me starting into high school cross country. And I can remember being very underprepared for that because I didn't know how far they ran. I didn't know what a 5K was. It's 3.1 miles. I spent all this time running 2.5, and I thought I was going to be okay. But what I found in distance running is the greater investment I made into it, the greater returns I got. And obviously, having continued on for over 20 years now, I continue to feel that investment and see that investment and enjoy sharing it with other people.
If somebody was thinking about joining the military, came up to you and they said, I want to join, but I haven't worked out before, what would you put them onto as far as a training plan or just some ideas to get them started if they're they're new at working out?
I think our PT test is really a great general assessment of your fitness. My recommendation to people would be just work on your general fitness. So I would just recommend that. Start working on your general fitness.
I agree with that. And if somebody came to me and they said, I've never worked out before, I would challenge them. Most of us have walked the mall. Most of us have, you know, been on family vacations. So you've done some type of fitness in general. If you're already doing certain aerobic activity, you'll be fine. Only thing that you need to do now is intensify it. So instead of maybe 5 minutes of doing this, start doing 10, 15, 20 minutes. And then once you get into that, again, it's your state of mind. Don't let anything else deter you. Don't let anything, you know, scare you away. But your biggest thing is just make sure you have a state of mind. And once you start working on that, you're going to develop that love. You're going to develop that, I got to do this today. And if I don't do it, now I don't really feel that good.
Sergeant Doctor, I wanted to come back to you. What would you say has kind of helped you stay consistent over the years?
Gosh, I think it's just, especially now at 37, so I'm in the twilight years of what would be like the prime running years. How long can I take this? How much farther can I take this before I really start to see the decline? And it's just every year I kind of get the point, I kind of go into the season a little nervous. I'm like, yeah, can I still do this? And then I knock it at work and I'm like, okay, yeah, I still got it. And you know, it's just how long and how far can I take this? That's the motivation for me now. As I get into my late 30s and then when you know, get in your 40s and you become, it's called a master's runner. But I think early on as a younger runner, it was just, the discovery was the motivation. I mean, it's such a broad field, and there's so many distances and races, and each race takes on a different life of its own. And it was just that discovery. It was, you're limitless when you first start. And now I'm to the point where I'm operating on a limited amount of time, but what can I do with that time?
Mm. One thing that's always kind of held me back from running very far distances is that I get bored. My mind's just off somewhere. So what do you get into a headspace when you're running long distances? What is that like?
Yeah, we talk about that. You want to bring in mental health aspect of it. What a great, going for a long run for me is just, it's been great for my mental health. It's, you run through things and it's calming for me. There's certain areas where I'm thinking, okay, when this situation comes up, this is how I'm going to handle it. And then, you know, 8-10 miles later, you're like, and I'll just see how things play out. It's a calm and reflect aspect for me, and I use it as a chance to reflect on certain situations that I'm going through.
What about strength training? How do you incorporate that?
So it's really unique. So that's one thing I love, any type of strength. I don't care what it is. So you have to be mindful. I know for myself, one funny thing was when I went through MEPS and I went through all the initial military, I probably was weighed probably 10 times because of my height and how much I weigh. They're like, can you run? Can you do this? I can do all of that. Because not everybody's built slender. Not everybody's, you know, the typical scale. I'll gear this for people who are trying to fit running and fitness. Do more high reps. You can still do medium weight. I still like to do heavyweight high reps. Then I'll change. So your physical fitness, you're working out, I change every 4 weeks. And you'll hit a plateau. Because if you start doing the same things over and over again, so I change my workup up. I literally draw it out. You know, you hit body parts. So when you do that for somebody who's running and lifting, focus more on a medium to lighter weight, but higher reps, because you're still going to get in your physical, your strength training, and then you're still going to be able to, and again, this is where you cross over into being able to, they call it a hybrid trainer now, be able to lift heavy weights and run long distances. But for somebody who's starting out, you want to focus in that area to where it's 4 or 5 sets of 15 to 20 reps. So you're still getting it, but you're getting that endurance along with being able to still physically run. So your push-ups will be a lot easier, your sit-ups will be a lot easier, and then your running will come easier because you got your breathing and everything else going on.
I wanted to talk also about other aspects of fitness other than running and lifting weights. What is your take on diet when it comes to staying physically fit over the long term?
When it comes to diet, I consider diet just part of your general health. That's tied together with your fitness, because what I try to tell people is you're not going to be any more fit than you are healthy. If you're trying to become fit and you're not healthy, you're going to hit a stopping point at some point or another.
A diet is not what these books have been telling people. A diet is what you do every day. Myself and Sergeant Doctor, we laugh about it all the time. Do not stop eating your snacks. But that doesn't mean you need a snack every hour. If you have, you know, whatever your craving is, still eat that, because that kind of keeps you yourself. One candy bar does not ruin your whole fitness. Your diet is not something specific. It's just your lifestyle. And, you know, one of those things is that we all like snacks, and there's no problem with that. But it's one candy bar isn't going to be detrimental to you. But what it is that when you have a candy bar every hour, that's going to be your issue. You're going to bag of chips every hour. But you have to be honest with yourself about what you're eating and what you're not. And there's a gentleman that, you know, I like to listen to, and, you know, he works out, and he says he doesn't eat certain things because he likes it. He eats it because he likes what it does to his body. And me specifically, I've actually really got into peppers. They just cook peppers. The red and orange ones are just, and the yellow ones are phenomenal. I get into the yellow onions. I get into asparagus. But you got to have your balance with your fruits and vegetables. You have to, and even with your meats. And you have to get your snack in, because everything is a balance. Your good and bad sugars, your good and bad cholesterols, and it's not gonna harm you by no means. And it's actually not bad for you. For me personally, I like trail mix. That kind of does it for me, because I get a mixture of it. But it is, and exactly what Sergeant Doctor says. If you fuel your body with foolishness, then that's what you're gonna get out of it. And a lot of people, they have this issue with, well, I like to drink. There's no problem. Okay, if you like to drink, everything in moderation. So a lot of people understand that beer has a lot of yeast in it. Well, a lot of yeast is going to sit on your stomach. Your stomach is going to start poking out. Then you have issues. And then if you, depending on what you drink and what have you, and tobacco, you know, all of those are harmful to your body regardless. But I can't sit here and tell anybody how to live their lives. But again, everything in moderation and how you do it. And really, if you look at it, what benefit does drinking alcohol and smoking tobacco and anything outside of that, how is that healthy for you? And those are the things I kind of look at.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if somebody is listening that works out here on base and they're looking for some tips to prepare for a PT test, maybe they want to try something new, that branch out and just try new things, what are some tips that you would recommend for preparing for a PT test?
I would encourage you to talk to somebody. A lot of people know who Sergeant Doctor is, know who Sergeant Maxwell is. There's also some other individuals out there, like Sergeant Ames. He's another guy who's, you know, he's built like a football player, and he did different components. And what it is that I would encourage somebody to talk to them, because everybody has different fitness goals, but we're all meeting the same fitness standard. And so how certain individuals train, they may be able to take something from, you know, four or five different people and build something they like, and it's just going to work, because as long as you're progressing forward, it's going to help you out. For me personally, I can say this long distance thing is really, really weird. I still can't understand it and I can't explain it, but it's very common. It's actually helped me with my strength training, which is very odd. And I've noticed that just because I've been doing longer distance, I've been noticing that I actually up my reps and up my sets on everything that I do. And it's really odd, because you would think running more would actually kind of decrease your strength training, but it hasn't. But one thing, I guess a tip that I would give somebody who's already done the components is talk to somebody else who may not look like you, may not work out like you, and just see their tips from that.
I'm interested to hear what you guys think are the best mobility exercises and stretching routines to help avoid routine injuries that come from overuse of, you know, running and weightlifting.
Running is obviously a very repetitive motion, and whenever you repeat that motion over and over again, eventually you're going to run into some issues with injuries if you're not attending to certain things properly. A term I've always used for this is self-maintenance. And as you get older, self-maintenance becomes a bigger part of your fitness routine. You just have to take care of those components of your body, or else you're not going to go out and do the things that you want to do. Several years ago, after having some repeated trips to the physical therapist, I finally was like, maybe I should just ask my physical therapist for some exercises I should be doing at home. And I practice those. I do those once a week, and those have been a huge help for me. And it is the mobility, and it is working on certain muscle groups that suffer from the repetitive motion. And other things that I do is foam rolling. I foam roll every day after a run. Can't emphasize enough the importance of stretching before and after a physical activity. Mm-hmm. And again, I really want to drive these points home for the aging crowd, because we're just not able to jump into these things like we used to. We have to prepare our bodies to go into these activities, and then we got to take care of them afterwards. And then can't say enough about rest. But one thing I would throw in, and it was something that's I need to reintroduce as part of my routine, and it was for a short period, and I never would have thought it would have been this, but when my wife and I were in the process of getting married, my wife is Puerto Rican, so she wanted to insert some Latin influence into our wedding. And one of those things that we wanted to do was a Latin dance. The movements involved in Latin dancing were actually very similar to the exercises I was doing for self-maintenance. So it was one of those things that was kind of nice that we were actually able to do something together, and there was this benefit of the lateral movement that you don't get in running and working the muscle groups that you typically don't work in running.
Some people go to cryogenics, some people sit in a tub, steam rooms. Those are some of the best things that you can do for your body. And so, and like you said, you know, before you get into a workout and after you get into a workout, there you have those stabilizer muscles, you have those helper muscles. You can get into the specific terms to them. A lot of things that we do that we just don't understand. And one of the main things a lot of people forget is your lumbar region. Our back is our biggest muscle group, is our biggest stabilizer, our biggest just everything for our body, even for all of our movements. And it was funny that he's talking about that, because there's just so many. If you ever look at mobility, it's all of the twisting and the turning, but it's not the jarring motion. It's more, you know, it's more fluid. And so there's even things on YouTube. There's so many people out there. There's so many movements that you can do. There's so many stretches you can do. But I agree 100%. It's the ones that, you know, back in high school, they used to play. They want to go out there, go 100 miles per hour. They get hurt. And, you know, it's like, look, you know, you have to go into this thing slowly. But definitely the maintenance. And it has to be a daily type situation, because I know myself personally, I go home and, you know, if you can binge watch a show and they're about 30 minutes long, you can sit in front of your TV and stretch, even with your kids. I actually use your kids as almost a weight, because they can help you, you know, stretch and all your mobility and make it a fun situation. Because a lot of us, like, we dread a lot of things. Don't dread it. Involve your family, involve whatever's going on. But when you start doing that, it is so commonplace to do it. And you're like, oh man, I just stretched for an hour. And now once you get ready to either go work out or go lay down, you're like, man, I feel good the next day. And now you're ready to actually put in, I think as a sergeant doctor says, that intensity. Now you're ready to go the next day, and like, I can do another 100% instead of giving 70 or 60%.
And this question I have next is something I'm actually very curious about. And it's when you're preparing for your PT test, you may be running regularly, but you do want to get that time down to get a better score on your test. What tips, what tricks do you have for decreasing that run time if you've already been running regularly? But what else could you do to decrease that time?
Well, first thing I would say, if you're already running, congratulations, you're a runner. You've made it. So, and I said it earlier, you know, you're doing something that some people can't do, and a lot of people have told themselves that they can't do. And so every time you go out there, you prove that. But some things to keep in mind is running, if you want to get down to the base level of it, it's volume and intensity. And how you vary those is very important. And that's going to be different for each person. I can handle intensity quite well. Volume, I found, and it took several years to try to figure this out, but I struggle with it. And how you're going to vary those to get to where you want to go. Every 2 weeks, look at either adding time or adding mileage, however you do your running. But every 2 weeks, do that. Another thing is strides. People don't actually give enough credit to, you know, what strides can give you. But I think one thing that would probably help people the most out here, and it's a Swedish word. It's called fartlek, and it's a Swedish word for speed play. But an example I would give, and I try to put this in terms of time, because What do we press for the most? We're pressed for time. We'll just say 20 minutes, because 20 minutes is kind of the bare minimum I think people need to work for when it comes to running. But a 20-minute fartlek workout would look something like, let's do a 5-minute warm-up. If 5 minutes is, if we're at a low fitness level, then maybe that's a walking jog. Hopefully that we get to a jog, but maybe it's a walk jog. Then we're going to run hard for 30 seconds. We're going to take 90 seconds easy, and we're going to repeat that 5 times. So we had the 5-minute warm-up. That's 5 minutes for my 20. That 30 seconds and 90 seconds, well, that's 2 minutes. We repeat that 5 times, that's 10 minutes. And then we're going to do a 5-minute cool down. And some people might look at that and say, well, I don't know if I could do 90-second jog as a recovery. Okay, then you know what? The first few times you do that, you're going to walk for 75 seconds of that. And then you're going to jog for 15, and then you're going to go into that 30. And then the next time you do it, that fitness level is going to be improved just a little bit more. And maybe now we're doing a 60-second walk and then a 30-second jog and then 30 seconds hard. And so we'll improve our fitness that way. And you'll find that actually as your fitness improves, the total distance that you're traveling is actually farther. You're still within that 20-minute period. You can't do fartleks wrong.
One of the other tips that I personally like to do, some people understand that the jargon is suicides. And so what it is that they used to use these in basketball. So you go baseline to the down at the very bottom of the bucket, come back, go to the half free throw line back, half court back, all the way down. And so what I would do is that I would do it on a football field. So I would do 20 yards, come back, 50 yards, come back, the other 20 yards, come back, and then, you know, do something like that. It's endless. There's just nothing structured to it. All you're doing is shocking your body to move forward, to not plateau. And really,
so it sounds like don't let yourself get into a plateau where you've been doing the same thing for a while. Like, challenge yourself, try new things, up the intensity.
Absolutely. And understanding that these are small changes made over time, and that's how you're going to get those results.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to round up the interview with what are your favorite workouts and how do you structure your week with those workouts?
Okay. So being a runner, it's obviously going to be a running workout. That's my favorite workout. But this is one that I started when I began doing half marathon and marathon training. And I still do it now. The warm-up changes a little bit. The meat of the workout's the same. I typically do this on a Monday. I'll do a mile and a half warm-up, short break, kind of hit the drinking fountain real quick. And then it's 2x3 miles with 3 minutes rest in between, and then a mile and a half cool down. And right now, where I'm at with my fitness level as we're building up, the 3 miles is in the mid to low 17s. And then in a couple weeks, I'm hoping that we're at a point where we're at about a 17 flat for each 3 mile to a little bit under.
Mine is definitely not nowhere near that. What I like to do is, as far as running, I do either 1.25 or 1.5 intervals. So I will run, then I give myself 2 minutes rest and go right back. And I usually do 4 of them. So I'll end up with 6 miles. I will say this, and I'm proud to say this, I do not like CrossFit, but I do like their intensity. I like how they structure it. So for me, one thing I like to do is a clean and press, and then I do sets of, it'll either be 15 to 21 reps, and then I'll go to the pull-ups and do the exact same. It'll be 15 to 21, and I try to do 5 rounds. Usually by the 3rd round, I'm getting gassed, but it really pushes me. Those are kind of some of the things I like to do. Or what I'll end up doing, I'll try to go and do high reps on deadlift, and then I jump on the treadmill, and I'll do a quarter sprint or an 800 sprint, come back, and I try to see how many rounds I can get. And so once I get done with that, then I'll just go into the more structured, you know, heavy lifting or the high reps. So that's kind of where I'm at with mine.
Well, thank you both so much for coming and doing this podcast. We really appreciate your perspective, and I think I'm going to try that fartlek workout, because I would love to decrease that runtime like you, Sergeant Riddle. I'm very competitive with my running, so I'm going to definitely incorporate that. Well, Black Snakes, I hope you have a great drill. Hope you learned something from this episode, and have a good day.
This is the official podcast of the 122nd Fighter Wing. Views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the 122nd Fighter Wing, Air National Guard, or United States government. No endorsement of any person or business is ever intended.